Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New beginnings is not just for the young. Amen. We all deserve and appreciate a new beginning. It doesn't make a difference how we've fallen short or the mistakes that we've made. We all appreciate and deserve a new beginning. Amen. And we're praying that when we do have that new beginning, that we have a clean slate in our hearts, that our outlook is a little different. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again to New Beginnings Ministries. This is Blog Talk Radio. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Amen. And we do love the idea of you tuning in and interacting with us. We are an interactive Bible study, and we offer the opportunity for you to call in to participate as we have Bible study. And we just more so just encourage, and we just lift up each other. Amen. And there are times that encouragement is much greater than others. It depends on what we're going through. So we're going to have prayer, and then after we have prayer, we're going to go into the scripture, and then we're going to also open up the mics for you so that we can just more so feed on the Word of God. Amen. Father, we come before your throne of grace. We thank you for goodness, glory, and mercy. We thank you for the love that you have shown us for so many years, Heavenly Father, for where you have brought us from. And Father, we just give you honor and praise to what you're doing in our lives. We love you, Father, but we thank you for loving us first. Even in our sin and our iniquities, Heavenly Father, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross that we might have life, and we have life more abundant. And we just honor you by saying thank you. And Father, Lord, we pray for the sick and afflicted, those that know you and those that don't. Father, we'd like to send out a special prayer, Heavenly Father, for our loved ones, Heavenly Father, the Maccabees, who's mourning over their daughter, Shannon. Lord, Father, for those that may be listening, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would just give them peace in the midst of their storms, Heavenly Father. As they go through their mourning, Heavenly Father, and their grief, we pray, Lord, that you would just keep them together, Heavenly Father, that they would lean on each other. But more than anything else, Heavenly Father, they would put you first before anything that they do or say. Father, we thank you for our dear sister, Heavenly Father. Another angel was found their wings and has set off on flight, safe into the arms of God. To those gone before them, awaiting and anticipating their arrival as they make their way into heaven. Father, we just glorify you. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. This evening, we are going to talk about the tongue. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Amen? The power of the tongue. And it reads as such. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in his ways and all what he says, that he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put it into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by the very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a word of evil, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth came praise and cursing. My brother, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same stream? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs, neither can the salt spring produce fresh water. Amen, amen, amen. The title of this topic is Death and Life is in the Power of the Tongue. And we start off, it says, not many of you should become teachers. It says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we teach. What we teach will be judged in greater strictness. Now, when we look at the background of James, the writer of this letter, a leader of the church in Jerusalem, was James. Now, I'm not talking about James the apostle, but the brother of Jesus. The book of James was one of the earliest letters probably written before A.D. 50. After Stephen was martyred in the book of Acts, persecution increased. Christians in Jerusalem were scattered throughout the Roman world. There were thriving Jewish Christian communities in Rome, Alexandria, Cyprus, and the cities in Greece and Asia Minor. Believers do not have the same support from established Christian churches. Amen? And I'd like to go back and take a couple of steps back and talk about what it says here. It says, after Stephen was martyred. And when we go back and start looking at Stephen, Stephen was a deacon at the time. And what happened was, during that time, Stephen was considered, asked to be a deacon because there weren't enough people were coming and they were being fed and they were prayed for. And the majority of the teachers during that time, they were teaching and didn't have enough time to feed those who were lacking. So they chose men. They chose men as deacons who was full of the Spirit, amen, godly men who were full of the Spirit. And Stephen was one of those. And what happened with Stephen was, Stephen began to realize, Stephen was a Jew. He began to realize that, well, actually he was taught that only the Jews could be taught. Only the Jews could be taught. Only the Jews could be prayed for. And during that time, it was only them. And as Stephen began to start to help those who were in need of food and serving them, he began to start to teach and pray for them. And during that time, he began to realize that even the Gentiles during that time could be prayed for and taught. It was an eye-opener, and Stephen continued to do that. Now, Stephen was martyred because he challenged them and told them that they had hard hearts. They had hard hearts. They did not have love for everyone, only the Jews. So because of Stephen's tongue at that time and the way that he approached them, he was martyred. They considered that blasphemy. They considered it blasphemy. So I wanted to go back, take a couple of steps back and talk about it. Why Stephen was martyred? Why was he was martyred during that time? So as we move on, when James is writing this, we look at James. He was concerned. He was a concerned leader, and what he wanted to do was encourage them at that time of their faith and the times of difficulty. He wanted to inform them that teaching was a highly valued and a respected profession of the Jewish culture, and many of the Jews embraced Christianity. Those who embraced Christianity, they wanted to become teachers. And what happened was,
James wanted to inform them, or he wanted to say, let them know that not everyone can be a teacher. Not everyone can become a teacher. Why? Because of the tongue. Because of the tongue. See, and during that time, Christianity, when you become a teacher, and the whole picture is becoming a teacher is saying, he was saying that the teachers would be judged. We could be judged as teachers more harshly than someone who is not a teacher. Mm-hmm. Amen. We're talking in the background. If you have your phone on, we can hear talking in the background. Amen. Could you please mute your mic? Amen. So as we move on, James' letter was to inform them of teachers. He wanted to inform them about becoming a teacher. Amen. And he wanted to also let them know that teaching could be a problem. Everyone could not become a teacher. Everyone could not become a teacher. Now, the section relates to the discussions about the letter in two ways. First, the concern was about words. They were about words. They were about words. In this paragraph, in the first paragraph, it connects to the concern about also the works. The works, words of the tongue as a teacher, and also the works. Now, when we go back and look at this, and it is a very significant word, it's saying that has probably influenced, this is what probably influenced James' argument. Now, Jesus claims that one's word will be the basis for God's judgment. One's word will be the basis of God's judgment. What is that saying? It's saying that this tongue, the tongue that we have, one of the members of our body, what it can do, it can bless a person, or it can actually curse a person. Mm-hmm. Amen? It can bless a person, or it can curse a person. We can use the tongue to praise God and then use that same tongue to tear down someone who was made in the likeness of God. Amen?
Amen.
There was a movement from the importance of the work, which was crucial, talking about human speech. He was talking about human speech. The problem with the tongue is picked up. James identifies that control of the tongue is one of the clearest examples in his letter. It talks about the tongue cannot be controlled. It cannot be controlled. Oftentimes, the tongue is used and it is out of control. He's saying that when you become a teacher, now that you know the knowledge, the word of God, that this small tongue cannot be controlled, as small as it is, out of all the members of the body, the tongue is the smallest. And what James is saying is this tongue is the most powerful. The most powerful. Now, as I raise the question, James is warning about sinful speech. Now, why does James single out the teacher in the opening of his letter? Two answers are given. Some commentators, without ignoring, nevertheless do not think that James is concerned only about the tongue, or even especially with teachers, by how he writes. They suggest that James singles out teachers as the beginning of his letter because it provides a convenient way of jumping off point to a warning about the tongue. So what they're saying is, what the other scholars are saying is, that he uses it like that, but in actuality, he's using it as a warning to the teachers, a warning, reminding them that, and keep in mind as we go back, in the Jewish culture, as they began, as they accepted, they were accepted in their faith, that the first thing that they wanted to be was a teacher. Why a teacher? Because a teacher at that time was honorable. Honorable. People looked up to the teacher. People looked up to the teacher. The teacher was highly respected. Highly respected. And so everyone wanted to be, how can I say, considered among the affluent. They wanted to be among the influent. They wanted to be respected. They wanted to be highly favored. They wanted to be looked at in a special way. And as a teacher, it put them in another category. So everyone wanted to become a teacher. And what James is saying in his letter is that if you accept becoming a teacher, that when you are judged, you're going to be judged greater than someone who is not a teacher.
Amen.
So I'm going to take a minute and open up the mics, as I like to do, and we're going to move on further as we do that. I'm going to open up the mics. Any comments in terms of what James is saying about the tongue, or any comments about the tongue as we move further? Amen? Any comments? Amen. Praise the Lord. As I move on, in terms of, he's saying that maybe you should not be quick to want to become a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you might be jumping into something a little bit too quick without thinking about it. He's saying that, are you thinking about the consequences? Are you thinking about the tongue and how uncontrollable it can be? He's saying that we have no control over the tongue. So if we have no control over the tongue, why would we want to fall into the category of becoming a teacher? That is his warning. That is his warning. He is saying to the Jews, watch out what you ask for. Watch out what you ask for. Becoming a teacher can go in two categories. At first, he's talking about the teachers is an official position in the church. He's talking to those who are considered unofficial, who want to become official. He could be referencing just the Jews, or he could be also be referencing the church. It could be just the Jewish culture, or in his letter we can interpret it as he could be referencing the church as a whole. Because everyone has the choice of choosing to become a teacher. And so he puts out in his letter that if you're going to be a teacher, he's warning you that the tongue is out of control. And if the tongue gets too far out of control, then what does it do to the rest of the members of the body? If we think, and we think of, when we look about it in terms of teaching, teaching is God's covenant with us. God wants us as teachers. Mm-hmm. Think about this. Parents shall teach their children. Parents are to teach their children. Christians shall teach members in the church. So in actuality, teaching is a covenant. It is a relationship that God has with humanity. Teaching. But when we step into teaching, we're stepping from one level into a higher level. And how God sees us. And if we don't contain that tongue, if we don't stay in our lane, then we can easily get lost. The tongue can easily put us out of relationship with God because of the way that we use our tongue towards others.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
As I said before, the tongue can either bless you or it can curse you. And when I'm looking at this, I believe that this letter is a warning to the Jewish culture at that time, but I believe that this is a warning to all Christians. Not just to the Jewish culture, but I believe that it is a warning to all Christians. What do I mean? I'm saying that I believe that it's a warning to you and myself. And it's saying here that we shall be judged greater. We shall be judged greater. Now imagine judgment. One is on the right and one is right beside you. And you and I, because we are teachers, are going to be judged even greater. We're going to be judged more stricter, and we shall be judged with greater strictness because of what we have been given, the knowledge of God. The word says, study to show thyself a fool, a workman that need not be ashamed, but get this, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Rightfully dividing the word of truth. Using our tongue to use it in a right manner to be pleasing in the eyesight of God. Using our tongue to encourage our brothers and our sisters, to build them up rather than tear them down. And so, and here's the human side of it. Here's the human side of it. Now think about this. If one says that they will not fall into that temptation, then what they're saying is, they're perfect. They're perfect. When we look at the word we is inclusive. It's not just talking about one person. It's talking about all of us. It's talking about all of us. We all who become teachers shall be judged. harder because of the teacher's influence on others. On others.
Amen.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the teacher's influence on others. And if you don't think as a teacher that you have an influence on others, let's go right back to what during the time of James and during the culture of the Jewish, even when Stephen, at the time that he was martyred, it said that teachers, he was referencing them in an official position in the church. An official position in the church. Once accepted to become a teacher, you are held in greater standards because of the influence.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the influence. Amen?
Amen.
Judgment is considered accountability. We are accountable for our words and our actions.
Mm-hmm.
We are held accountable in the eyesight of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
One
Amen.
Will be accused of condemnation when out of order. Sentence to condemnation when out of order. The judgment is from God at the final judgment. I'm not talking about the judgment when we're walking this earth and proclaiming the good news. I'm talking about the final judgment. When we go before God, when he returns for his children, and there's a final judgment. That's what I'm talking about. That's what James is saying. At the final judgment, that we're going to be judged with greater strictness. Why are we judged with greater strictness? It's because, the warning is because, you know as a teacher that it becomes condemnation if one fails their responsibility. If we fail in our responsibility, we know that there's condemnation. So I say that becoming a teacher is serious responsibility. Do we take it too light? Looking at James' letter, James 3. 1, as I read, 1 through 12, do we take teaching too lightly? As a teacher, do we look at ourselves and or feel that God looks at us in high esteem because of the influence? Teaching is a serious responsibility. Now I'm going to open up the mics. I really don't want to. I have more that I want to elaborate on, but I want to open up the mics and if there's any comments thus far. Amen. Amen.
I think from my observation. Meeting of James, and it's really, as far as being a teacher is concerned, that it's truly a special calling. And being a teacher is also being a student. You can't be a good teacher unless you're a good student, because you have to also be able to learn. You take on many roles, leader, role model, spreader of God's word, the Holy Spirit,
we have to, the Bible says you, one of the greatest sins is to be a stumbling block, to cause somebody else to stumble. So anyway, as a teacher, you're setting an example by your actions and your words that is going to lead people to God. But for you to do things that are contrary to Christian or God's word, as in the Bible, and you're professing yourself to be a child of God, but then you carry yourself in the wrong way. So you have to constantly examine yourself and examine very carefully what you say, what you do, and that you lead people to Christ. If you don't say a word, it's your actions, the demonstration of faith during a very troubling and trying time, and building others up. But that's a very, very monumental task, and not everybody has that calling to be a teacher. But if you take on that responsibility, you're a teacher, you teach by virtue of being a Christian.
Amen.
Being a child of God. Your actions. How are you demonstrating pure love? About the glove towards one another. So you have to be very focused and very constantly on a daily basis, introspectively examine yourself spiritually. Are you handling yourself in situations in an appropriate manner?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Amen. Any comments? Any other questions? All the mics are open.
Mm-hmm. I like that because you don't have to have quote unquote that teacher credential. And just like the pastor said, that we all are teachers, one way or another. We're teachers, you know. And when you were talking, Elder John, my mind went to 1 Corinthians 9 and 27.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And it says this. It says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, we have to know that how we conduct ourselves, what we say, and if we say it, if we say something like, you shouldn't do this or do that, and we ourselves do what we're preaching or teaching about, then we ourselves are castaway. If you understand what I'm saying, we have to live the life, walk the walk, and talk the talk.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And
amen.
If we don't, yes, judgment will come. At the end of the day, God is going to judge us for what we say and for what we do. And even a little bit further, as you're saying this, Brother John, about the power of the tongue, the power of life and death, death and life, in what we say and what we do. And just like what you were saying, how can we bless God and curse our brother who looks just like he does? Not physically, but it's spirit to spirit. When we think that we're cussing that individual out, you got to realize it is God that you're talking to. The spirit of God that dwells in them, if they're saved.
Yes. We're supposed to lead by example.
Amen.
But we have to also be able to reach back. There's no glory without a story. So we're not the poets. We're a peculiar people.
Uh-huh.
But if we can reach back and save one out of the, and leave the other nine, to be able to embrace them for where they are, knowing that we had to get ourselves to a place of where we can actually say that I know your struggle. Not be afraid to say, okay, I'm not going to put the money in your hand, but come on, I'll buy you a cup of coffee and we can sit down and talk about the goodness of God. Amen?
That's good. Amen, Elder Kathy. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We say speak life, but we don't understand sometimes because now it has become so cliche to say, speak life to someone. But remember, when the Lord spoke, he spoke the earth and us into existence. And so there's power in our words, and we need to understand that, especially if you've been called to preach, teach, evangelism, you know, and all of us have been called to share the gospel, that there's a responsibility that we have. So we need to choose our words wisely in the way that we minister to one another and the way that we minister to ourselves. But even beyond that, even when you're not, like my husband was saying, even when you're not before the crowd, when you're not so-called actively preaching, your lifestyle is still preaching and teaching others. So you have to be careful with the words that you say and the way that you carry yourself, because you are held at a different standard. And sometimes you have people that the Lord has removed the anointing from because they have not carried themselves in an honorable way. They still have head knowledge for the word, but the Holy Spirit is not in it. God's not on it.
That's so true.
You can see so-called speak the word of God. The devil could do that.
Okay.
You know, the devil could do that. But you have to operate in the Holy Spirit. And I believe that when you're prayed and when you're prayed up and when you're in communion with the Lord, that the Holy Spirit speaks to you. When you can't hear the Holy Spirit, when you don't know whether the Holy Spirit is moving you, that's when you're in trouble. Something's wrong. You need to get it straight.
Okay.
You need to get it straight.
Amen.
Yeah.
So true.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. Any more comments? Amen. Good stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we move on, talking about James 3, 1 through 12. James' epistle was a warning. A warning. At that time, it was for the Jewish culture, but in today, it's for all Christians. All Christians. The warning is because you know. It's a warning because you know, as a teacher, it becomes condemnation if one fails their responsibility. And as I said before, becoming a teacher is a serious responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
James is warning about substituting your talk for deeds. Substituting your talk for deeds. Let me take that even closer to home. Substituting your influence for something of greater need. Something that you desire. Not for God, but
good.
Substituting. One who is speaking and exalting themselves. Let me say that again. Teachers who are speaking and exalting themselves, not exalting God, but exalting themselves.
Idolize.
Teachers who are speaking to be a teacher for the wrong motive. Seeking to be a teacher for the wrong, not for God, but for self. Teaching and speaking to exalt oneself without even being qualified.
Lord Jesus.
Exalting yourself and you're not even qualified. You haven't even been given the permission. As one said before, there's no Holy Spirit guiding you. It's the flesh and not the spirit.
Come on now.
Teaching is speaking to exalt oneself without being qualified.
Well,
we even go even further. Let's talk about judgment. If we don't take it lightly, we have to. James' letter. His epistles are about the judgment. He wants to warn that there is a judgment for what you do and what you say.
Right.
He's saying that it's not others who's going to scrutinize you, but it's God.
That's right.
God is going to be looking at you. So it's almost like that teacher, and everyone is looking where that teacher fell short.
He's saying it's not even that. It's greater than that. If God is looking where they fell short, God is looking at their walk. God is looking at what they're doing on behalf of Him.
His name.
That's right.
What James is saying is that warning is for the judgment. He's also saying that there is a penalty and punishment for what you do.
That's right.
There is a penalty and there is a punishment for what we do. What are we doing? This teacher, we're influencing by the means of increased responsibility. God has given those responsibilities to become teachers to influence other members of the body. He has given us the knowledge. He has given us the knowledge. And at the final judgment, teachers will be judged more severely. Now get this. He goes on to even say that we all stumble. We all stumble. It doesn't make a difference who you are. We all stumble. He goes on to say that we all make mistakes. And then he says, and he's saying that we make mistakes again and again and again. In many ways, we commit sin. Many times, we go wrong. Many times, we go astray. And he's talking about inclusive, as I said, the key word, inclusive. I'm not pointing to you. I'm not pointing to you. But I'm talking about we.
Yeah.
I'm talking about we. We all go astray. We all, as teachers of sin, we all, as teachers, we fall failure. We fall to moral failure. And guess what? In James' epistle, he's even including himself. He's even including himself. When he says we, he's not pointing fingers. He's saying that we all fall short. Someone in word doesn't stumble. He's not saying that. He's referencing those who teach. He's referencing those in speech, the tongue. He's referencing those who are speaking in harmful ways. Knowing exactly what you're doing. He's talking about speaking in harmful ways to the body of Christ. Speaking in ways that lead others astray from the truth.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
A perfect, mature man, he's comparing it to the bridle in the body. He's comparing it to the bridle in the body. Now, when we look at a bridle, he's saying that when he uses the word bridle, if you take a bridle is something that you put in a horse's mouth. And when you put that bridle in the horse's mouth, what does it do? It controls the head. It controls the horse. That's what the bridle does.
It bridles the tongue.
Control.
Jesus.
But you have control. And he's using it and saying that a perfect, mature man is comparing it to the bridle of the body. He's saying that bridle is the tongue in the body.
Amen.
The tongue is the body to control the rest. That tongue can control the rest of the body. I'm not just talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about the whole body. We have the arms, we have the legs, we have the feet, we have the fingers. The smallest member of our body is the tongue. And what he's saying is the smallest member has the most control. The smallest member has the most control. Mm-hmm. He's saying that the tongue is not fully developed in any way. He's saying that the tongue can't be learned. He's saying that there is no perfect man. There is no perfect woman. No one has reached perfection.
Amen.
If you reach perfection, then you're saying to yourself that you are free from all flaws.
Yes.
You're free from all flaws. And he's using the bridle, saying that that's what the control is. That is the control of the body. And he's saying that we are to keep it in tight rein. Keep that tongue in tight rein. Keep it under control. And it implies that we should restrain it from wrong direction. Guiding
Amen.
The rest of the body in the wrong direction. That tongue. Guiding the body in the wrong direction. And I'm going to say this and I'm going to open up. In conclusion, if anyone does not make any mistakes, never says anything is wrong with them when speaking, anyone who makes no mistake speaking is considered perfect in James' epistle. That if you're saying that you never make any mistake speaking, then you're considered perfect. You are a perfect person. You're saying that you have sinned and you would not like it. You have not sinned and you don't need repentance. By word or deed. By word or deed. And what he says, what it narrows it down, that the only perfect person is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Comments? Any comments? Mic's open.
Yeah. God is using you mightily. It's like they say, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone.
Mm-hmm.
No one is perfect. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, no, not one. Not one.
No, not
this flesh body can ever claim to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So this letter, this epistle is a warning. This epistle is a warning for the Christian. Don't take it like that's why we need to repent daily. With a
daily.
Sincere heart.
Amen.
With a sincere heart. Because once we get away from repenting, then after a while we just feel like we don't have to do it. It just comes natural.
Amen.
And what James is saying is that there is a judgment.
Yeah.
There is a judgment. Keep in mind, God looks in our heart.
Yes, he does.
And I can see why, not cutting you off, I can see why the word of God says, somebody talking?
No, go ahead. There's someone in the background.
I can see where the word of God says to be slow to speak and swift to listen. And if we would allow the Holy Spirit to be our or do anything, we would be in a place of righteousness. Because if we allow the Holy Spirit to be our bridle, to bridle our tongue, then you know.
And so many of us miss our blessing because of our tongue.
Yeah. And we see why the Word of God says be slow to speak.
Yes.
Because this tongue, any minute now, it could just go there because it's unruly. But if we allow the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to keep that bridle, that's why I always pray. I said, Lord, put a watch over my mouth, a guard over my heart, and let me hear what your spirit is saying.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Right. Amen.
Amen.
I like what you said also. Also like what you said, Elder, about how, you know, you have to be careful of what you say and what you say to people. Because when you're in leadership, I think was stated earlier, that when you're in that type of leadership, you are an example. And
yeah.
As me being in leadership, you know, I have to be careful what I say because people are looking at me. And
yeah.
I'm supposed to be an example. Certain places, my friends be like, come on, let's go here. I can't take my feet wherever they go.
Amen. No, you can't go to the
Amen. Club. Because God is holding me accountable. And if I have said before the Lord, okay, I'm going to do this as your woman of God, I can't be over there doing that.
No.
And so, yes, true, it's very important that you watch what you say, watch where you go. People are always looking.
Yeah.
I mean, like, sometimes, you know, as being a youth pastor at church, and I don't know a lot of people in the church, sometimes I'd be, like, and maybe in the Dollar Tree, and they'd be like, oh, hey, well, there's Pastor Cook.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I didn't know who these people were, but thank God I was in the right place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, it's so important, especially as leaders, and if you say you're a child of the King.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. It's just that we've got to know that we're all servants in our own proper capacity, with or without title, okay? But when you're in leadership, when you're the shepherd, you've got to never put yourself so high that the people are idolizing you.
Oh, that's good.
When it's the God in you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good. That's
not
good.
The man.
Mm-hmm.
Not no idol.
Mm-hmm.
God chose you, but he also used the donkey too. Okay?
Yes, he did.
So never put yourself so high on a pedestal that you are all. God is all. So we've got to watch that because, you know, that you put yourself in a status situation where, you know, God help me, it's just the reality, though, that you have to schedule an appointment through 20 people to get to a FaceTime with T.D. Jakes, or I'm using him as an example, or something like that. We are all servants of God. And because we didn't take that one phone call because, you know, this was your meditation period or, you know, whatever that Godhead does, you know, and it's not interceding or anything, you know, it becomes an idle thing. It's idling.
Yeah.
You know, you go to your pastor, your apostle, your elders even, you know, not to find solace in. They're supposed to give you words of wisdom to go to God, to go to the throne for yourself. To get into a place that you have that personal relationship. We're the example setters. We're the leaders, you know. We're leading them to God, not to me. So, oh, God bless Apostle. God bless Pastor. All praises to my Father in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So, yeah, we've got to be so careful in our walk, you know, because we're being watched. But we're also going to be judged.
Amen.
Okay? We will be held accountable. Who did you think you was that they said, if I can just touch the hem of Apostle Smith's robe because he's such a high, powerful person of God, or if I can come up with $100 to get a word from God, we can hear from God as children of God if we allow ourselves and our spirits to take over. Keep your mouth shut, your ears and your heart open, and hear what the Spirit is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Any more comments?
This was a powerful word.
Any more comments?
Good word. Good word.
Yes, it really is.
is in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
It's in the power of the tongue. And going right back to what Jesus is saying in 3:1-12. He's interpreting the tongue as being so small that sometimes it's so small that we don't think or we forget how powerful it is. He even compares it to a ship. Though that you have a long ship with strong wind, they're guided by a small rudder. As big as the ship is, as large as the ship is, it's guided by a small rudder. To guide it through the storms and the wind. And the same as with a tongue. The tongue is so small, but you can boast of great things.
Mm-hmm.
And James was warning the Christians to be mindful of the tongue, because it has the power of life and death. Amen?
Amen.
I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. We've come to the close of the hour. It has been a blessing. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. Those of you listening by internet, if you choose to call in, you can call in 347-237-4054, and you can be connected in the interactive discussion as you just heard. We pray that you have been blessed. We'd like to invite you back next week. We are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we would love to have you to invite you. Remember, we love you, but God loves you more. Until next week, God bless you.
Be blessed.
I face the dawn.